Well, we've been focusing on the theme, Can I Get a Witness? The fact that in our lives as we come to faith in Jesus Christ and as we're filled with the Spirit, that is for purpose. And the purpose is that we would be witnesses. We'd be witnesses to Christ and to Christ's kingdom. We sometimes use the word evangelism. That word, that Greek word euangelios, means the good news. And when Jesus talks about it, he talks about the good news of the kingdom of God. The fact that when God reigns, when God is in charge, when he's given space to be in charge, amazing and wonderful things happen. The good news of Christ the King and his kingdom. And that when we come to faith in Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, we are to be witnesses. And we've been launching out of some verses in the New Testament, one in particular, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And when you read that, it kind of sounds like that one is conditional on the other. Or one overflows or outflows from the other. So it should be a natural outflow of being filled with the Spirit, of the Spirit being upon us, that we should be witnesses. And similarly, it's very difficult to be witnesses unless the Spirit of God is within us and upon us. The Spirit of God will come upon you in power, and you will be my witnesses. One is conditional on the other. Receive the Holy Spirit, and as you do, you'll become my witnesses and witnesses to my kingdom. And at the heart of this whole series is the fact that the Holy Spirit is central to our lives as witnesses and to our witnessing. In fact, he's essential. We don't do this on our own, and we can't do this on our own. In fact, revealing and pointing to Jesus, actually bearing witness, is primarily the work and the activity of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He points people to Jesus, the King. That's the Spirit's work. And then we are invited into that work with him. The Spirit of God is already doing that, pointing people towards Jesus in all kinds of ways. And then we're invited, empowered to participate. Now that should give us a big sigh of relief that it's not all on our shoulders. I think one of the things that we struggle with in the area of witnessing is evangelism. I wouldn't be able to do this. But when you think about it, this is what the Spirit of God is already doing. He just invites us to join us. It takes the weight off our shoulders and allows us just to be witnesses in the power of the Spirit. So let's read some verses of Scripture from John chapter 15. We'll read the whole text first and then we'll go back and pick out some thoughts. First of all, John 15, starting at verse 26. When the Advocate comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, and that word advocate, in the Greek it's parakletos. It means the one who comes alongside us. That's what the Spirit does, the one who comes alongside us. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You see that? It's the Spirit of God who is already doing this work long before we ever get there. And then it says, and you also must testify. There it is, bear witness. For you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. And then this gives us a little bit of context to how the early church and the disciples, what they were living in. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. In other words, he knew that the disciples were going to face persecution and opposition. And he was leaving, and so they were grief-stricken. What will happen? But then Jesus says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Really, Jesus? It's for our good? But it's better that you're here. And he says, no, it's better that I go away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And that's what's happening at Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. And the Spirit is still being sent. And when the Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, or he will convict the world in relation to sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people don't believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, Jesus said. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. I find this passage so encouraging in the life of being a witness. That actually it's really all about what the Spirit is doing, and we join the Spirit in his ministry of witnessing to Jesus, pointing people towards Jesus. The Spirit is already doing this. And so there's a few things that I want to just draw out of this passage. First is this: the Holy Spirit is at work long before we are. The Spirit is at work before we are. So if you picked up right at the very beginning of that passage of Scripture, when the Advocate, the Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, when he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So before you ever leave this place and go back into, well, wherever you've come from, whatever situations, the Spirit of God is already at work. He's already bearing witness to Christ. There are people around you when you leave this place who God is at work on. You might not know who they are, but God will be at work in their lives. In our tradition, we call this prevenient grace. Grace that goes ahead and before anything else. Kind of ties into, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's grace goes before any decision on our part to respond to God. He's just gracious. He's just loving. The Spirit of God just goes to people. The Spirit of God visits people. He bears witness to Christ. We have some people in our church this morning that came to faith in this very way. I shan't embarrass them at this moment in time because they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that pointed them to Jesus, and then they had to try and work out, what do they do about this? Isn't that amazing? That the Spirit of God is already at work before you even get to the point of bearing witness to Christ. Jesus is already being witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. He goes before we even go. He witnesses before we even witness. And we shouldn't be surprised because this is the way God works. God's pursuing love. This grace that goes ahead preveniently. The Spirit of God at work. God always is taking the first step towards us. So if you go to the Garden of Eden, right at the very beginning of the Scripture, when Adam and Eve turn their back on God and go their own way, what happens? God goes looking for them. He takes the first step. He moves towards them. Where are they? Or, if you look at the incarnation, Jesus coming in the flesh. God doesn't stay a distance, but he comes to us. Not that we deserved it, but just because he loves us. He comes ahead of us. Or the story of the prodigal son. When the father saw the son coming, what did he do? He ran to the son. To make sure, even before a word was out the son's lips, the father was there, already there, waiting to meet him. Such is God's pursuing love for all. And the Holy Spirit is already at work drawing and speaking and revealing Christ and prompting people and pointing them to Jesus way ahead of us before we ever arrive. And I think we've said this a few times in this series. There's a sense of that happening in bigger ways in our nations just now. That this is what God is doing. He's at work even before we get there, drawing people, pointing them to Jesus, opening up their hearts, even bringing conviction to them. But he's moving ahead of us. God is moving. And so the first thing I wanted to say to you is, rather than putting all this responsibility on ourselves about, oh, how am I going to be a witness and how am I going to speak or talk or live or act? Let's trust the Spirit of God. Let's believe that the Spirit of God is already at work around us and step into that with faith and say, okay, well, if the Spirit of God is doing this, I'm willing to be a witness. Rather than coming up with all the reasons why not to be a witness because it all lines on me, Spirit of God is already doing it. So step into what the Spirit of God is already doing and enjoy the journey. Might not always be easy, but see what the Spirit of God is already doing ahead of you. That's the first. Spirit of God has worked long before we ever get there. Second is this. The Holy Spirit prepares us. So not only is he ahead of us, but he prepares us to be witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's preparation of our own lives that has to take place in the Spirit so that we can be people of power. Now, I'd like to go back to the life of Jesus when I think about the way that Jesus operated. And if you were to go back into I'm going to look particularly at Luke's gospel just for a few moments and just give you a quick picture of how Jesus' rhythm of life was shaped. But in the gospels, you'll see that Jesus also needs to be with the Father and the Spirit so that he can be prepared for what he was called to do, which is point people to the good news of the kingdom of God. And so if you were to go, for instance, to Luke chapters 4 through to 6, you will notice that what happens is Jesus retreats to be with Father and Spirit so that he can be prepared, so that he can hear from his Father, so that he can sense what the Spirit needs to do in him. He also, Luke's gospel says, was full of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit. And in order for that to happen, he had to retreat to be with Father and Spirit. So we first see that in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus withdraws into the wilderness place or the desert place, often the place used for spiritual preparation and maybe even a bit of spiritual battle. And Jesus went in full of the Holy Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Spirit. There had been a preparation of him, and that was the launching of him into his ministry of announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. And so from after that being prepared in the Spirit, he goes out and he begins to declare and announce and enact the kingdom. So he announces his kingdom mandate. He begins to drive out evil spirits and bring healing. But then in Luke chapter 4, a little bit later on, it says at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. So he'd been prepared in the Spirit. He went out in the Spirit. He did what the Spirit needed him to do. Then he came back. And he went to a solitary place so that he could be prepared again by the Father and the Spirit. And what happened after that? Well, he was sent back out in the power of the Spirit, where there were more preaching and healing and miracles and recruiting disciples. Then Luke chapter 5, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why? Because he needed to be prepared by the Spirit, hear the voice of the Father. And then what happened? He was sent out again, prepared by the Spirit for more healing and teachings and proclamation and announcing the good news. And then Luke chapter 6, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So he came back to be with Father and Spirit so that he could be prepared again. Are you getting the picture? The Spirit of God prepares us, but he prepares us when we take the time to allow the Father, the Son, and the Spirit to be with us and us with them. And in the places of prayer, to allow the Spirit of God to fill us, steady us, ready us, and send us back out again. Now, the places most often that I think about and I practice myself are the places of prayer and worship and the Word of God, personally and collectively, where I'm encountering the presence of the Spirit. I'm waiting on the Spirit for Him to do His work. They are places of hearing, where I might sense something from God. And then I'll discover that sometime later on, either in that day or the next day, I'll come across a set of circumstances and lo and behold, the word that God spoke or what He opened up or revealed is exactly right for this moment. Or there's just a new confidence, a new boldness. There's a new sensitivity to what God has done. So I'm in a conversation and I'm hearing somebody talking. I'm suddenly alert to the fact the Spirit of God is doing something here. And rather than being some kind of rigid way, I suddenly find myself in a situation where I sense the Spirit of God is here and the Spirit of God has prepared me. Enter in here. Join with what God is doing. The Spirit of God has already gone before us, but also He wants to prepare us. And as He prepares us in His presence and with the Holy Spirit, then we receive power to be witness. New confidence, new boldness. Sometimes He just prepares us by reminding us who we are. I am a child of God. I thought what Fred did earlier on. Let's do it again. Three times. I am a child of God. Are you ready? We'll say, and increasingly loud. First time. You ready? I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Now, I can say that over and over again on your behalf, but what you really need to experience is the Spirit of God bearing witness to your spirit that you are indeed a child of God. Oh, that's a liberation experience when you begin to sense the Spirit witnessing to your spirit that you are indeed a child of God. Not because you believed it with your head, but because the Spirit of God ministered its truth to you so that you felt like a child of God. The witness of the Spirit. And when we feel affirmed in that witness of the Spirit, I am indeed a child of God, we take on a new boldness, a new confidence about being a witness. Not just because the Spirit of God is beyond us and getting there before us, but because the Spirit of God is also at work within us as children of God. Romans 8, 14 to 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. And Fred said that earlier on. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to childhood, daughtership, sonship, whatever word you want to put it in there. And by Him, by the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. It's almost like the Spirit of God is so deeply within us. It's almost like He releases, even in our own spirit, an awareness of who we are and who He is. And it brings a new boldness. The Spirit Himself, verse 16, testifies with our spirit that we are indeed God's children. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Testify to our spirit that we are indeed children of God. And I can't stop smiling. I've just suddenly become aware I can't stop smiling. Do you know this? We are indeed children of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Witness to our spirit. And it's a game changer. Our witnessing life changes. Why? Because we're in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work in us. And so that retreating of Jesus to be with the Father and the Spirit changed everything. And so for us, of course the Spirit is ahead of us, but to be prepared by the Spirit in those places of retreat. And in those places, sometimes we hear things from God. Another thing that to do in that secret place is to pray for opportunities to witness. A big influence in my life is he was a pastor when Carolyn and I were youth leaders in Parkhead. His name was Richard Porter. And he was a unique, still is a unique individual. Taught me a lot about what it means to follow Jesus and follow the prompting of the Spirit. But I remember him saying to me, he said, Ian, do you ever pray for opportunities to witness? Simple question. I don't think I've ever prayed that prayer. This was back in the early mid-90s. I don't think I've ever prayed that prayer. So I started to pray that prayer. Guess what happened? Opportunities to witness came my way. Isn't that interesting? We're called to be witnesses. And one of the ways that perhaps we prepare ourselves in the Spirit is just to say, Lord, give me opportunity to witness today. It's amazing how God answers that prayer, and we become more alert in the Spirit to connect with what He is doing in other places. So I want you to be encouraged this morning, emboldened, because the Spirit of God is already at work, and He's also preparing us. And here's the last thing. The Holy Spirit works in us and alongside us, and even after we've gone, He keeps on working. The Holy Spirit works in us. The Holy Spirit helps us to speak, to know what to say. So that's probably the bit that most of us are worried about. Am I actually going to have to say anything about this Jesus, my Jesus and His kingdom? Am I actually going to be able to say anything? Will I have to say anything? Honestly, we spoke of this a while ago, knowing our story, being willing to share our story. And so we do have to speak. There are things we have to share. It's part of our witness. But the Holy Spirit helps us to speak, to know what to say. Here's some scripture verses from Luke's gospel again. I'm drawing a lot on Luke today. He's big on prayer and the Spirit. But the context of Luke chapter 21, verses 13 to 15 is that, again, it's the persecution. Jesus is saying, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be put in prisons. People will oppose you. You'll be brought before the authorities because of me, because of your witness to me. But this is what Jesus says, Luke 21, 13. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Isn't that a great word? Don't be anxious. Don't start worrying yourself about, oh, what would I say and what would I say? The Spirit of God will give you words to say. Or Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. It's like we step forward into something that feels a little bit vulnerable, and there's a space behind us, and the Spirit of God comes in behind to propel us forward and gives us the words or the wisdom to say. The Spirit of God is with us to help us. He's alongside us. So that in the moment, prepared by the Spirit, He now also works with us. And again, we shouldn't be surprised. Even going back into the Old Testament, Moses needed it from God. Gideon needed it from God. Jeremiah needed it from God. They all needed to step with faith into something, but the Spirit of God came behind them and filled the faith gap so that they would then know what to say. Peter, who went silent as people were asking him, as Jesus was taken away to the cross, were you not one of these guys? No, no, not me. Somebody else. No, you should, it was definitely you. No. Oh, come on, it wasn't it you? No. Denial. But what's Peter like after Pentecost when he's filled with the Spirit? He erupts in a spontaneous sermon, being a witness to Jesus. The one who was silent suddenly was given words to speak, and he stepped in faith as a witness. When we step forward, we leave a gap that God fills. And the Holy Spirit will help us for when we speak. One last crucial thought. Don't confuse your role in witnessing and the Spirit's role in witnessing. We have to bear witness to Christ and His kingdom, the good news of the kingdom of God. But let's leave the Spirit's work to the Spirit. Let me read you again from John 16, verses 7 and 8. This is the work of the Spirit. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Wonderful. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. I'll just stop there. It is the Spirit who brings conviction to the world in relation to sin and righteousness and judgment, not you. We bear witness to Christ. We don't start looking for what this person needs to start working on or change. You leave that to the Holy Spirit. We had a situation, two situations that came back to back in each other in our church in Parkhead. One that gave me great pain and one that brought me great joy. A couple started coming to our church. They had two kids. They weren't married. They'd lived together for years. They came to faith in Jesus. Somebody thought it would be a great idea if they stepped in as the morality police and told them all the things that they needed to do. It was devastating. Absolutely devastated them. They thought they were the Holy Spirit. That they should decide, what are the things that this person needs to change so that they're more like me? That's in effect what they were doing. Man, leave it to the Holy Spirit. The amount of people who have somehow been put off because somebody else took on the Holy Spirit's job instead of leaving it to him. Man, let's just lead with love. Let's just love people and bear witness to Christ and the goodness of his kingdom. And the Spirit of God will be at work. Off the back of that, I did have a word with some people. But another couple came to our church. Not a dissimilar set of circumstances. About 12, 15 months in, they came to me and said, man, we really feel that God is challenging us. That maybe we should get married. Why? Because the Spirit of God was showing them things and leading them. Let's lead the work to the Holy Spirit. What I've discovered is that when I come across a person, I need to resist the temptation to list all the things that I think God should change in them. And here's the priorities, God. If you could just sort that out in their life. Let the Spirit of God, you know what I've learned? See, when I leave it to the Holy Spirit, he deals with the important things first for that person. Not necessarily the things that I think are important. And so let's leave that work to the Holy Spirit. Let's just bear witness to Christ and his kingdom. And let him deal with the conviction in relation to sin and righteousness and judgment. So, be witnesses. Because the Spirit is already ahead of you doing it. And he's already preparing you to do it. And when you're in it, he'll help you speak the words that you need to speak. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And lead into it with love. Lean in with love. And let the Spirit of God do the work of conviction. Worship team, will you come up and join us? Thank you, Lord, that your love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So let us lead with love as witnesses. Lord, I pray you'd embolden your people this morning. That we'd be strengthened as witnesses because we know that the Spirit of God is already at work. May we enjoy being witnesses. May we enjoy seeing the Spirit of God at work as he witnesses also to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.